All right, y'all ready? It's this Wednesday evening, 4:10:24. Part 7 of the Office of the Prophet. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Revealeth means to disclose. Book of Revelation. Revelation also means disclosure. All right, God gives the prophets his blueprints, his plan to proceed forward. Not man's plan, but his plan. Okay. All right, the blueprints. A detailed plan or program of action. God has had a plan from the garden. His plan has been thwarted so many times. All right, prophet here, it means to prophesy, speak or sing by inspiration, and prediction or simple disclosure. Like I said, the book of Revelation, Revelation means disclosure. Speaking or singing by inspiration. God wants us to know. That's why he's always had his prophets involved with what he does. We looked at last week the gifts of the Spirit that reveal something. Word of knowledge reveals things in the past or present. Word of wisdom reveals future events. Discerning of spirits is seeing into the realm of spirits, which could be dreams or visions or actually seeing a demonic entity or an angel. Okay, Old Testament prophets had the Spirit at times upon them. Kind of like the analogy given was the wind in the sails. They had to wait till the Holy Spirit came upon them for them to move. The New Testament, the anointing is within and abides. But it isn't, but it's only by the unction of the Holy Spirit. It'll come up in you instead of come upon you. Huh? All right, if you want to read further, Brother Hagin's book on the, it's about, in the, what's the name of it? The Upper Room? Or the Spirit Within? The Spirit Within?
And Upon.
And Upon. Okay. All right. We're going to look at some scriptures right quick. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, we looked at Revelation, not on Wednesday night, but about the fact that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. All right. Remember the sealing. That's what I put here in your foreheads. God's Spirit. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, I like himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Start with verse 1 there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. See, this is a work of the flesh. That's what Galatians talks about, all these works of the flesh. The Christian walk, and this is something I said, Lord, I want your body to get this. When things change and we step into the place that we have been trained for, that's what people learn. Is the real Christian walk is about the inner life, and it's not anything about all these outward works and building buildings and all this stuff. It's about what is in here. God leading, God guiding, God saying, do this, do that, and do this, not just men in their institutions. That's what got us into this mess that we're in now. All right, that's how the Antichrist got into the church. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So if you're walking from the inside out, you would not do that. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. We don't operate these gifts by our unction, but by the Holy Ghost unction within. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So what's he saying here? These are the Holy Spirit's gifts. This is not your gift. I've heard people say, well, I got the gift of this and I got the gift of that. No, you don't. You don't have any of that. The Holy Spirit has these gifts, and he chooses severally as he wills. He calls upon. All right? So if anybody tells you that, you can say, no, that's not the truth. It's not the truth. I've heard that all my life, you know, in churches. All right? Some believe that between Malachi and Matthew, there were no prophetic voices. I want to look at this from the scriptures. I'm reading the book by, Rick Renner. And he believes that there was never any, well, he didn't say that. I believe there was never a ending of the prophetic. Just like there are multitudes of other prophets that are not listed in the minor prophets and the major prophets. There's scores of them that are mentioned just here and there in Scripture that's not even in that lineup. So the prophetic voices have always been out there. In fact, I think there was always like the school of the prophets. I mean, being a prophet was a big thing then. It's a big thing now. Someone that is an advocate with a leader of a nation, that's what it was in the old covenant. That's pretty important. They heard from God for that leader. A lot of times the leader didn't like it and didn't want to hear it and tried to kill the prophet, but nonetheless, that's the way it operated. And I still think that's the way it operates today. All right. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 11. Some say it was 400 years and there was no prophets. We're going to say that's not true. No, that's not, can't be true. All right, Matthew 11. I don't think God ever quit speaking through his prophets. They call them the silent years. It's called the silent. I looked it up on Free Spoke. The silent years. All right, 11. Matthew 11. It came to pass when Jesus had made in end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see, a reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So they've been prophesying all along, even the 400 silent years. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias which was to come. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Yeah. Let's keep going here. Matthew 17. So John the Baptist was a prophet. Jesus said the greatest of the prophets up to that time. Jesus is the prophet of all prophets. We're not going to look at him tonight, but we will probably next week. All right, this is chapter 17, starting with verse 11 there. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, the Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but hath done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man of them suffer of them. So they killed John. What did John do? He rebuked the leader, didn't he? And that leader killed him. All right, Mark 6. Herod. All right, Mark 6:17. Well, let's go on up. Let's go on up to 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said, That John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And he's talking about Jesus here. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Another said, That is Elias. Another said, This is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid a hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste to the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison. And brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Sad story. All right, but Jesus came, so John makes the statement, you increase, I decrease. All right, Luke chapter 3. Sounds like it was a pretty fiery prophet right here, verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So the thing about the prophets, they speak for God, and God does not hold back in what he says. He's pretty, at times, very fierce and very fiery, especially towards the wicked and the unrepentant. He, you know, came before as a, it's either like, you're going to accept the Christ or you're not. All right. 19 through 20 there says, But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above, that he shut up John in prison. See, people don't realize the prophet speaks for God, and they're bound to speak what God says, but then they get the repercussions of it, of doing that. That's probably why a lot of them don't speak, because they don't want the repercussions. It's not always easy, but I'd rather obey God than men, wouldn't you? All right, go to 7 of Luke, chapter 7, verse 16. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent unto us, saying, Thee saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So they were looking for the Messiah. That was what John was preaching, repentance, prepare the way for the Lord. All right. Now let's go to John chapter 1. It says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. He was Jesus, the forerunner. All right, 15 of that same chapter here. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they said, Then they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethlehem, Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. And then the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. All right. So there's no end from the prophetic, from Malachi to Matthew. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Even though the Bible doesn't list them, they're all through there. If you're reading the Old Testament through, and I do it every year, it's helped me learn the Old Testament without just going, you know, all over the place. But, you know, you'll pick it up. There might even be one that was a prophet and they didn't even have a name. But there's a lot of them in there that do. All right. All right, Luke. We're going to look at two others. This is Luke chapter 2. Now, this is after Jesus was born. Right here, verse 21, And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit. See, the wind caught his sails, didn't it? Came by the Spirit unto the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. An interesting thing about Simeon is Rick Renner brought this up, and I thought, well, that's interesting, that actually this Simeon was Gamaliel's father. He's the one that Paul learned under, was Gamaliel. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. They say probably around, she was advanced age, maybe even 100. I mean, she was old. She lived in the temple. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years. So she'd been a widow 84 years, so she's old. But they married kind of young back then. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake to him of all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we see here's three prophets. Three. If this woman was already 100 years old, you know, it was 400 years where there was no prophetic voice of any kind. Not so. Just because it's not documented does not mean that the prophets weren't prophesying. Okay. Now, go to Acts chapter 5. Read you a couple of scriptures about Gamaliel, or Gamaliel. Acts 5:33. It could be that's why he had the attitude he had, because his father was a prophet that had been looking for the Messiah. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. This is whenever they... the apostles and prophets were doing signs and wonders, and they'd been brought before the council here. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So it kind of sounds like he might even have been a prophet himself. But his daddy was. So he probably heard some things that made him come to this conclusion. If this is a work of God, you best not touch it. It's not going to be good for you. You know, you may touch the prophets and hurt the prophets, but when God's got something going on and somebody touches it, it's not going to look good for them if it's evil. All right. Acts 22. That's why we should always be careful when someone says something to not poo-poo what they say, because we don't know. I mean, a person's call is between them and God, and if you don't think it's right or whatever, you do better to keep your mouth shut about it, pray about it, and not to say anything, because you don't know what God said to that person. I know there's a lot of wild stuff out there today, and you just want to say, eh, but I'm thinking, no. All right, this is in 22 here. Paul has given his testimony. Let's start with 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering unto prison both men and women. as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, for whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. So here's Paul. Those that received Jesus, he's hauling them out. He's even hunting them down, going to their houses, pulling them out of the houses, and taking them to prison to be killed. It could be the Colosseum, you know, with the lions. I don't know exactly how they did it. I'm sure there was I still think there's, at different times, probably the legacy of the school of the prophets. I'm going to look in the Old Testament that kind of bears this out. First one is 1 Samuel chapter 10. I think there's ministries. I remember years ago, I kind of come across different ministries about the prophet, that's what they did, was train people in that area. 1 Samuel 10, 10 and 11. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. This is when Saul, you know, that he had lost the donkeys. He went looking for the donkeys, and then his father got worried about him because they found the donkeys, but they didn't find Saul. Well, he came across these prophets, and then he started prophesying. Says here, and it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, that the people said one to another, what is this that is coming to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? All right, 2 Kings 2. Starting with verse 11 there. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. He saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. If you notice about the prophets, they usually had somebody that kind of was served them and kind of kept the people away from them, that kind of thing. We see it with Elijah. We'll see it with Elias. He had Gehazi. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Before that, they'd fallen them around. See what's going to happen. What you say is really true. They kept telling Elisha, yeah, your master is going to be taken from you today. And it's basically telling him, why don't you just shut up? Yeah. All right, even today there are ministers that focus on the training of prophets. God has used his prophets in the Old Testament to be advisors to the king, and I do not believe that any of that has changed. I don't think the office has changed from the old to the new. It is not except the spirit upon or the spirit within. It is normal for there to be prophets in advisor positions to advise the leaders today if they'll listen. Now, I know President Trump did. He had, on several occasions, you can even see the video, where he had many prophets in the mix come to the Oval Office and lay hands on him and pray. Kendall Copeland was one of them. Paula White was another one. He wants that. All right. I believe it's God's way, and it has not gone away, and it will continue, whether taken advantage of or not. You know. We already know about the close relationship between apostles and prophets. They are a team to build up God's house. That is why if they don't do it according to God's plan, it will fail. It's just not going to work. We see why it hasn't worked. What's happened to the church? Like the Lord said to me, it's become politicized. I had a chance to speak that to somebody the other day, and they actually heard me. I said, through the corporation, the 501c3, the church became political. It ceased from being God's house to becoming part of the beast system. And I said it just like that. I'm going, ah. But anyway, believe it or not, no care at this point. I heard someone say this today. You know, all the hype about the eclipse and all this stuff. People hang on every word everybody says, but they don't do their due diligence to really focus on what is true. What is this really all about? Well, the children, for one, is the number one thing. And we're going to have to get bolder and just say, and bring it to people's attention. If they don't like it, I don't care. As the Lord gives us opportunity, we need to be bolder. Because what did they do? The whole world went nuts over this eclipse. And I've seen videos where people are showing the eclipse, and here's the moon over here. So what are we seeing? You talk about a psyop. People, the whole world, they just follow whatever they say to do, they do. Buy the glasses. Now the glasses aren't any good. Use the hand sanitizer. No, they're recalling it. It's horrible. It's deadly. It's not good. I mean, really. We're going to have to get bolder. Now, I believe we're to be led by the Spirit. But if people get upset, the main thing is the children. I know nobody wants to hear about that, but, you know, we need to let the Lord lead us, though. All right, Matthew 7. We're going to have to follow the Spirit as the church. We cannot go the route that we've gone. Right here. I read this last time, but I'm going to read it again. This is Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye know, shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A deep state church cannot bring forth good fruit. I see what Mark Taylor was trying to say to everyone, and nobody wanted to listen, because it was all about the condition of the church. It was not really targeted to the deep state. Maybe some of it was, but it was mainly to the church to wake up. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those who follow the Spirit. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Think about the Catholic Church and the many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Catholics. And the Pope was, you know, the figurehead. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. Lord, help us to get this right. Maybe with the house church setting, just like that word I had was about, a house church is kind of like being born in a manger. You know, are you looking, like a pastor, are you looking for a big church and a big work and a big following and a big do-do-do-do-do? Are you wanting to follow the Lord? Will you do it with one? Will you do it with two? Or is that not good enough? What is our focus to be? God's will. All right, Matthew 16. The only thing that matters to me is God's will. That's all I want. And I know that's the way you feel too. All right, Matthew 16:18. You know, with Jesus and his brothers, what'd they say? Well, if you're doing all these miracles and stuff, go show yourself. And he didn't go. He resisted in his flesh what they were trying to pull him to do. And later he went secretly. It was the time of the feast or something like that. Jesus wasn't here to make a name for himself. He was here to do the Father's will, period. All right, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind or loose shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right. Simeon came in the temple by, it says, by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Anna, same way. Where are these three? John the Baptist, Simeon, and Anna. They're not New Testament prophets. They're Old Testament prophets. New Testament didn't come into being until after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Even though they put it in the New Testament, it's really not, technically. These people were walking up under the law. Righteous, but walking up under the law. So that 400-year deal is not true. All right. Okay, we're going to look at a little bit further. We're nearly done here. I'm going to look to Luke chapter 1. I think that's it. Yeah. I'm going to start with verse 5 there. And there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He should be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. He had a prophetic visitation. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus saith the Lord, dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. You see these gifts in operation here? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of a spirit, seeing into the realm of spirits, saw the angel. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country and hasted into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Came to pass, and when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice. We got three prophetics right here. Zacharias, Mary, and Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own town. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would call him. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was open. See, I believe it was a prophet. He was not able to speak. A prophet that can't speak? Why? Because it was an unbelief. But when he acknowledged that what God had said was true, he opened his mouth. And his mouth was opened immediately, his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So there you go. The prophetic office has never stopped, not from Malachi to Matthew. And we see proof of it here. All right.